The last Air Force pilot to be held as a prisoner in Vietnam has retired. This summer, Major General Ed Meckenbeier hit the mandatory retirement age of 62. He spent 4 decades as an active duty airman, then a member of the Air National Guard and Reserve. He was shot down over North Vietnam in 1967, and he remained a prisoner of war until 1973. Meckenbeier was a recent graduate of the Air Force Academy when he first went to Vietnam.
I flew 113 and a half combat missions, 80 of which, 79 and a half, if you will, over North Vietnam.
Can you tell me about the last one?
The last one was a strike mission on the Vũ Trụ Railroad Yard, which means that it was part of a bombing force. Obviously, we got hit by something or a bunch of SAMS missiles in the air as well. The airplane caught fire, and it was just a matter of time then, once that happened, until the flight controls didn't work, the airplane was going down, and it was time to step out.
And what goes through your mind in that moment after you've bailed out of a plane that's on its way down, and you're heading toward that enemy on the ground?
Yeah, and they were shooting at me in my parachute. Please be bad shots, you know. But then again, your training kicks in. I can tell you, I got my survival radio out. I made the call, you know, chisel four, which was my call sign, is hit. We're bailed out. Good parachute. And then what we were trained to do was take the radios and break the batteries so that the Vietnamese or the enemy on the ground could not use them and try to lure rescue people in to shoot them down as well. I looked down, and there were about 100 people down there shooting at me.
When you hit the ground, other than just surviving, what was your job at that point as you saw it?
Surviving. That was it. I mean, you know, you have a certain amount of dignity and honor that you want to do. You want to give a, maybe not a defiant attitude, but a certain amount of disdain so that they know that you're not a weak lamb and can make you do anything they want. So,
had your training prepared you for what happened next?
As a matter of fact, yes. I mean, the experience at the academy, the experience that the Air Force and the Navy offers their people and the Army offers them through a series of survival schools, yes. I mean, I felt that I was very well prepared. Now, are you prepared when somebody comes in and jerks both your shoulders out of their socket for the pain? You know, no. But you're prepared for the interrogation techniques. You're prepared for the solitary environment that they want to put you into. You're prepared for the type of information they want to give you. And remember, there was, and of course they've changed the name now, it's called the American Fighting Person's Code of Conduct, but in those days it was the American Fighting Man's Code of Conduct. And it's a whole lot more involved than I will not give anything more than name, rank, service number, and date of birth.
In the end, you ended up in a North Vietnamese prison.
Yes, sir.
Not far from where Senator John McCain, future Senator John McCain, was being
held. Yeah, John was shot down about a month after I was, if I remember correctly. I think he was shot down in July of 1967. And we were held in the same prison camp in Hanoi for about the next year. You know, physically, you know, about 15, 20 feet apart.
So did you not know him for a long time there?
I never actually met John McCain until actually we came home. And, you know, I never met the guys who lived in the room next door to me either, I mean, other than communicating covertly through the walls.
How'd you pass the time?
You ever been to a zoo and watched the lions go back and forth? And you can walk 8 or 10, 12 miles a day if you make enough turns in a room that's 10 by 10 feet. And so we did a lot of that. You go clockwise for a long time, then you go counterclockwise for a long time. It's like a long religious retreat without a retreat master, too. You do a lot of thinking. You make a lot of plans. You do a lot of daydreaming. And then we spent a couple of hours a day, you know, communicating with a tap code. If you've seen the movie Return with Honor, you know, we got the various means of communication we had there. So you got a couple of days you got to do that. I mean, I won't tell you that there were some days where you just kind of felt sorry for yourself. But you know what? I had a chance to feel that day. Because before I got shot down, you know, I flew combat missions for 7 months. I watched a lot of people die. So it's not a stretch of the imagination. I think, gee, you know, prisoner of war. Whew. What a lousy job. Beats the heck out of being dead.
When you got back from those years in North Vietnam, in mm-hmm. prison, what did your family want to know about those times?
Yeah, we don't really want to go there too much, but I'll give you an answer, you know, to your question. What was it like coming back after being gone for almost 7 years, counting the time that I was in the South before I got shot down? And my attitude was, those are 7 years that didn't happen. why worry about what you can't change? You know, I didn't do a lot of things that I think a lot of people would have thought that I would do by way of catching up, making up, running double time. I said, hey, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Step forward.
As you know, the career path for a lot of Air Force pilots is fly for a while, get a lot of hours, and then become a commercial airline pilot and make a lot of money. And I want to know about what kept you there so long.
Well, there are two things. I mean, flying military airplanes is different than taking off and saying, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. As a fighter pilot, which I was most of my career, it's a chance to go straight up, straight down, upside down, right side up, and do some neat things. But I have to tell you, and it almost sounds hokey, but it's real, the real lure of keeping this job so long is the people that I had a chance to work with. When you're part of this culture, you know what's expected of you, and you know what you can expect of your coworkers. You have a standard to which you work. In the Air Force, we call it integrity first, service before self, excellence in all we do. There's no quibbling about it. I mean, that's just, you know, what we're all about. A month ago, I got to fly an airplane back to Hanoi, and as the man at the controls, to land an airplane in Hanoi and bring back the remains of two Vietnam-era MIAs was the most emotional thing I have ever done in my military career. We take off out of Hanoi, we go to Guam, and on a Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, there are 300 people at the airbase at Guam Air Base. These are dependent military people who are out there for a ceremony because they're all saying, we care. We share in the family's desire to have some accounting. I mean, what a great community we have, and how proud anybody would be to be a part of a group that cared that much about somebody who died, you know, 40 years ago.
Major General Edward Meckenbeyer was the last Vietnam War pilot who became a prisoner of war, who was still serving with the United States Air Force, with the Air Force Reserve. He recently retired at the mandatory retirement age of 62. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Dave.